right after service this morning on our trip to Mexico. So if you'd like to sit in on that, you're free to do that as we talk about the details of the trip. Just wanted to give you a heads up on that this morning. Well, let's take a look at our notes this morning as we are in our study for the book of Proverbs. And we're talking about the path principle, this morning. And I want to focus on a couple verses, say three verses at the beginning, and then go back through chapters 1 and 2, kind of summarize that, and then come back to the scripture again. So let's read together chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Now that's one of the classic scriptures I think we all, as Christians, if we've been a Christian for any amount of time, that we have heard of or memorized. And it's a great promise and great principle for living. And it's basically dealing with how do we get to where we want to be. It's talking about how to end up in the place where you know you should be, in the place you want to be in your life. The word path is a metaphor. Do we have echo in this thing here? Do I have, I'm not in a cave? Okay. Huh? I'm a little high? I'll try to speak a little louder. Volume's a little hot.
Okay.
I talked to the sound guy and he said he turned it down. Okay. So the word path is a metaphor for life. And when he talks about path, he's dealing with the subject matter of your life. And it's a picture that shows that life has a pattern. Life has steps that you take, that life starts one place and ends another. And it gives you that picture about life. And because a lot of times we find ourselves in places that we don't want to be, or in places that we didn't intend to be, we need to pay attention to this scripture so that we find ourselves being in the place where God wants us to be and where it's best for us to be. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I have a little confession to make. I am directionally challenged. Okay? If I go by what I feel is the right way to go, it's usually wrong. And I don't know how I do that, but it just something I have naturally, an ability to choose the wrong direction. I even try to fool myself and say, well, I think it's this way, but I'm not going to go that way because I know that's the wrong way. I'm going to go this way, and it's the wrong way. So when you're directionally challenged, it's frustrating to try to go somewhere and find yourself not in the place that you want to be and wondering how in the world did I get here and how do I get out of here and get back to the place that I want to be in the first place where I started out my journey. And so you find that this scripture highlights the fact that we're all directionally challenged when it comes to living a life for God. In fact, the Bible says this, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." And there's an interesting point. We have turned to our own way. And because we turn to our own way, we've gone astray. We're lost. We're going the wrong direction. Now, if you've ever gone the wrong way, you might have asked yourself, well, how did I get here? How did I get to this place where I don't know where I'm at, or I'm lost, or I'm in a place where I didn't want to be? Well, the fact is that this scripture points out a fact, a principle, that there are paths to the places you want to go. And there is a path to the places that you don't want to go. My family and I have gone to Canada several years in a row, and a lot of times we've gone to the same place. In fact, I think we've been there about six times. And it's a big, huge resort area called Whistler. And Whistler has just an amazing amount of things to do. And it is one of the unique things about it is the main area of the town, there are no cars allowed. It's only walking. It's like a European village, and they don't allow cars in there, so you have to walk through the whole thing. And then they also have bike trails. Must be 100 miles worth of bike trails all through the village and lakes and parks and areas all over the resort area, which is quite a large area, actually. And so when you get there, you'll find that people walk a lot, or they take their bikes to different locations. So if you get on one of those paths, you'll find that as you get on the bike path or by the golf course, you're walking down, you'll every once in a while see this V maybe, or a juncture where you can go to other parts of the path. And at those junctures, they have these signs. And these signs will say 1.2 kilometers, which I have no idea what that means, to the village, or 3.4 kilometers to the Green Lake. And it gives you all kinds of distances and places that you can go as you're going down the path. Now, if you take and follow the signs, and it says this is the path to the lake, guess what? You'll end up at the lake. I know I'm really giving some really profound insight here as we go through the scripture, but the fact is that there are paths for us to take that'll get us to the places we want to go. And they're marked. This is the path that you should walk, the scripture says. Walk in this path. And somehow it seems to be quite a mystery that we don't know how to get where we're supposed to go. We have no clue of how to get there, and we think it's a mystery, and we're just maybe hoping that things are going to turn out okay. You know, all things work together. No, they don't. They don't always work out good, especially if you're not following the right path. Guess what? If you follow the wrong path, you won't get to the right place. I don't care what you think. If you think, well, I'm going to go to the lake, and then you decide to turn on and go to a path that doesn't say anything about the lake, you're not going to end up at the lake. It's just not going to happen. So there are paths to a great marriage. There are paths to financial security. There's paths to restored relationships. There's paths to freedom from guilt and shame. There are paths to good health. You name it, there's paths, all kinds of paths in the scripture that God gives us direction and says, this is the place you need to go. This is how you need to walk. You need to go step by step down this road, and eventually you're going to get there. So, the only way to end up at the right destination is to what? To choose the right path. That's the only way. Now, when you get lost, or when you find yourself in a place that you don't want to be, a lot of times you don't realize how you got there. But if there's somebody who's looking at your life and they come and talk with you, you know what? A lot of times they know how you got there. They see the path you took. They see the direction that you went and the steps you took and how you got there. And you're just going like, how did you know? Because there is a path that you can take. Now, there's a distinction between solutions and a path. And you have to recognize the distinction in order to understand this principle. A solution is where you say, I need to get this fixed. and you go to the right person, or you find the solution itself, and by doing that thing, it is fixed. In other words, I have a car problem. It won't work. It doesn't go. It can't turn it on. It just won't. The engine won't turn over. So I have a problem, and so I take it to the mechanic, and they fix it. The problem solved. I now have a car that works. Or if I have a sound system, or if I have a television, or if I have a leak in the kitchen, I talk to the plumber and say, I need you to fix this. They come over, voila, within a short period of time, it's fixed. But when we talk about a path, a lot of times when we find ourselves in a situation and we want someone to fix the problem, it's not a problem that can be fixed. It's something that requires a change in direction. In other words, I would get this all the time. Someone would come in and say, we have a marriage problem, and we want you to fix it for us, would you please? I say, well, how much time do you have? If you got 10 minutes, we can just do, you know. As though that's the way it works. You know, it took a long time to get where they were. In other words, they were on a path to a marriage that was going to fall apart. Then they come into my office and they want a solution. They want me to fix it. And they want, okay, give me the three things that we need to do, and by tomorrow we can have this thing fixed. No, that's not how it works. That's not how life works. What you need is a different direction for your life. You need to take a different path. You need to go a different way. The way you're going is only going to end up in a marriage that's destroyed. And you can't do little fix-it things that's going to make it better. You have to have a whole different direction for your marriage. And so that's where the difference between a solution to a problem and a direction change on a different path. And so when we look at this portion of scripture in the book of Proverbs, we go back to chapter 1, and you see that there's a couple characters there that are warning different people and different individuals about the paths that they're going on, and that to not go down those paths. So wisdom warns us about the paths that bring regret to our lives. And there's several different scriptures I want us to look at this morning. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says this: wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. All at the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. So she calls out to people from all works, all areas of life, all strata of life, and she's trying to raise her voice above the noise of the street to get their attention. And then, you know, that's kind of how it works, really. Wisdom is always trying to speak to us, but sometimes our life is so filled with noise that we can't hear. We can't hear what God is trying to say. Then going down to verse 30 and 31 of that same chapter, it says, they reject my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. So here's the one picture in the first part of Proverbs, is that there's a personification of wisdom calling out to everyone and warning them, and people don't listen to them, don't listen to wisdom calling, and because they don't listen to wisdom calling, there are consequences. You go down the wrong path, you end up in the wrong place. You don't hear and listen to what wisdom says, there are consequences that will take place. It's a cause and effect. And it's a thing about principles. Now, here we have another picture, too, in this chapter and in chapter 2, of a father he's trying to give advice to his son, give him wise counsel. And there are several verses that talk about this. And he says, he's basically saying, don't hang around certain types of people. Don't link your life to theirs. Because if you do, you're going to end up where they go. So watch the paths that your friends and the people you associate with are going, and don't go down their paths. So in verse 18, it says, these men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. So he's speaking here of a group of people that their idea of a great life is to take advantage of other people. And by taking advantage of other people, they enrich themselves, whether it be through physical force or through deception or being a con of some kind. Whatever the way that they choose, they're making that life out to be wonderful. And that they believe that this is how you get where you want to go. So if you'll join us, we'll share that life with you, and you'll enjoy the wonderful times that we have coming up. And you'll have the life that we have. So here's what the dad says. He says, these people lie in ambush for other people, but in fact, what's happening is they're lying in ambush of themselves. That the path that they're taking takes away life of those who stay on that path. Now, if you were to talk to those guys, though, if you said, hey, if you continue to do this, if you live your life this way, guess what? You're going to end up being taken advantage of. You're going to end up being stripped and losing your life. Your life will come to no good. Do they listen? No. They don't listen. Well, that doesn't mean that it isn't going to happen. He talks about other statements here in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 13, 15, 20. All these verses use the term path or paths. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. That's speaking of God. Verse 13, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, speaking of people who don't stay on the path, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. So there's this theme here through the first two chapters here of this path. And it's a principle that the writer of this, Solomon, is trying to communicate with people, that these things that he's going to be sharing with them are principles. Now, principle doesn't depend on if you believe them or not. A principle is true whether you agree with it or not. Archimedes' principle is a principle, scientific principle, about buoyancy. And it says something like, if you immerse something in the water, there's an upward thrust from the bottom toward the top and equal to the weight that is displaced on the top of the liquid. So you can have a 5-ounce little pebble and put it in the water and it sinks. But then you can put a 50-ton battleship in the water and it floats. Why? Because of the principle of buoyancy. And when you take this principle into account, you're able to leverage or use that principle to your benefit. And it doesn't matter if you don't believe in the buoyancy principle. It works. It's true whether you believe it or not. Principles are like that. Principles are in effect whether you're aware of them, whether you believe in them, whether you ignore them. No matter what, they are going to, it's something that is discovered. It's not something that someone invented. It's not something that someone invented gravity. No, you didn't invent. They discovered the principle of gravity. Archimedes discovered this buoyancy principle. Well, the scriptures gives us principles to live by, and one of those principles is the principle of the path. And so here's a part of what it's talking about when we talk about the path. And here it is. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Write that down in your notes. Direction, not intention, determines destination. If you're going the wrong direction, it doesn't matter where you intended to be. I didn't intend to be over here. Well, that doesn't matter. Now, that's very profound, I'm sure, to you, but if you go the wrong way, you end up the wrong place. And it has nothing to do with your intention or what you wanted, or what you thought it was going to be. You will end up the place where you're headed, the direction that you're going. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, again, we talk about these men who lie in wait for their own blood. They had no intention of ever being caught. They had no intention of ever having their life ruined. They had no intention to wasting their life. It didn't matter what their intention was. It happened. Why? Because that's the path that they took. So, good intentions won't get you where you want to go. You can have all the good intentions you want, but if you're going the wrong direction, you'll never get there. So, if my intention is to have a great relationship with my children, are you on the path that will lead to that? If your intention is to have a financial security in your life, especially in your later years, are you on the path that will lead there? If your intention is to have a great marriage, are you on the path to that great marriage? There are paths that you take. And if you ignore that truth, then you will be on a path, but you don't know where you're going to go, and eventually you'll end up where that path is directing you, where that path is leading you. Now, here's the thing about paths. Every decision is a step in a direction. Every decision is a step in a direction. So when you talk to someone who's, say, for instance, an Olympic athlete, and you say, yes, what was that over there? You say, how did you become this great athlete, this Olympic athlete? And they said, because I wanted to be one. That's it? No, they don't ever say that. What do? They usually tell a story. They tell a story of all the decisions they have made and the choices they have made. And the things that they have done so that they could end up where they ended up. They made the choice to hire a coach so that they could hone their skills and get his advice and get his insight, and that he could help them train. In other words, correct the things that they're doing wrong and make it so that they did it better than they did before. Or they made a choice to work out a certain amount of time. Instead of doing things that they could be doing, they decided to sacrifice their time and devote it to the training that would be necessary for them to have a greater skill and a greater ability to do the things they wanted to do. They made sacrifices. They made choices. All of these things together, they could tell you the stories of how they did these things and what they did, so that they would end up in the place where they now are on the path to where they have success in their endeavor. Now, the reason they can tell you that story is because they saw a pattern. They saw that as you take each step, make a decision, and you take that step, make a decision, make that step, and you take this step and that step, they saw a pattern that taking these steps, making these decisions, one step after the other, over a period of time, you would end up right here. They saw that pattern. They saw that path. And they got advice about staying on the path. They looked at other people who have been on that path. So to make sure they would stay on the path. All those things came together so that decision that they made was a decision to stay on that path to go this direction. So when we make financial decisions, so to speak, you decide, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that, I think I'll put this on my card. A lot of times we don't think those have anything to do with paths. They're just something that I do. I want that thing or I need this thing, so I buy it, and there we go. The fact is, those decisions are part of a path. You wonder why some people have financial security and others don't? It's because they're on a different path. They don't have any idea why they do what they do or make the decisions they make or take the spend their money on the way they spend their money and do the things they do. And they're hoping that sometime down the road they'll be financially secure. But they really don't know for sure how to get there. In fact, that's why we had that whole Bible study at Financial Peace University. He basically lays out for you a path. Here's a path to financial peace. You take these steps, and he actually has a list of steps that he has you take. You do this first, then you do this second. Can we have some air conditioning? I think that it's getting warmer here. And you take this step, and you do take this step, and eventually as you take all those steps, you will eventually land in a place where you have financial peace, where you have financial security. And the funny thing is, we see somebody, and we've taken that path to financial security. We can see the people who aren't making those steps. It's really funny. You can see clearly. To me, it's amazing. I can always see other people's faults more than my own. I can always say, oh boy, they're going the wrong way. But they're oblivious. They have no idea they're going the wrong way. Boy, they shouldn't do that. And you go, they should have saw that coming. Man, this choice they made, and they did this and then this, and why didn't they see that if they did this? Why? Because they don't see that their choices are connected to the direction that they will go. They're disconnected somehow. They have no connection to, there's no sense of cause and effect. There's no awareness that if you make these choices, then you'll end up here. You do these decisions, you take these actions, you do these things, and you end up right here. That's the way life works. Now, see, if there were no principles, guess what? Life would be chaos. You'd never know when anything is going to happen or why things happen the way they happen. It's just chaos. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. There's no purpose, no meaning. It just happens. And you're just a victim. And a lot of people want to look at life that way. I'm just a victim of my circumstances. The truth is, there are principles, and God has put principles in life so that it brings some sense of order to life, so that you can count on some things that are going to be true. We know this on a very basic level, but we tend to ignore it somehow. We don't want to pay attention to it. So there are this principle here then that there is a disconnect between my intention and my direction. I have an intention to go there, but it's disconnected from the direction that I'm going. I don't see that. There's a disconnect. God says, if you follow this path, you will get here. So if you're going to follow this path, you need to make these decisions. And those are the steps you will take down the path. We go, I will make these decisions. They have nothing to do with the path I'm going on. There's a disconnect. So, are there disconnections in your life? Are there disconnections in your life? A married woman says, I want to have a great relationship with my husband, but she makes the children a priority over him. There's a disconnect there. She doesn't see the connection between those two things. A husband says, I want my kids to respect me as they grow up. And then he openly flirts with other women in the neighborhood. He doesn't see that there's a connection between the flirting and the lack of respect. A Christian says, I want to develop a deep and lasting intimacy with God. So he gets up every morning early and reads the news on his cell phone. What? A man says, I want to grow old and invest the latter years of my life in my grandchildren. But then he neglects his health. A couple says, we'd like our children to develop a personal relationship with God and choose friends who have done the same. But they skip church every weekend and head to the lake. A high school freshman intends to graduate with a GPA that will afford him the option to select the college he wants. But he neglects the study. Now you can see that very clearly, right? The thing that they want and the thing that they do conflict. One will make the other impossible to take place because they are not making decisions with the consciousness that my decisions are linked to the destination that I'm going to go. So if I make these choices, I will find myself not in the place I want to be or intend to go. I will be in some place else that I never intended to arrive at. Proverbs 27 verse 12 says this in the New Living Translation. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Let me read that again. Write that down too. It's a good one to remember. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precaution. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So, the simple respond as though tomorrow will always remain tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. That's how they think. So, what I am looking at here is that if you're simple, or which is another way to say naive, there is no connection between the choices you make today and what you will experience in the future. Now, if you ask them, is there any connection between those things? They will say, yeah, of course there is. There's a connection. If I make a certain decision, that will happen, and this, I know that. But when they find themselves making those decisions and doing the things that they want to do, it's as though they don't see the connection anymore. They live as though that isn't true. Even though they may say with their mouth that that's obviously true. If you hit somebody in the face, they're probably going to get angry at you. Well, there's a consequence, you know, and you can get, you know, they can give you examples one after the other of certain decisions you make and the consequences they follow. But when it comes to their life and their choices, there seems to be a disconnect in a lot of the decisions they make. They don't see it because they're just not aware. So everybody at one time or another has done that. We've all had decisions that we've made that were disconnected from the path that we decided we wanted to go on. In other words, we made decisions and made choices that were not in our best interest, and we were still had the intention of going somewhere, but the way we were living, the choices we made, were undermining the very thing that we wanted to happen. We have all done that in some way in our lives. So, you know, how many of you have had a time when you go out to dinner and you're at the restaurant and you're sitting there and you're going, I probably shouldn't have one of those. I'm going to pay the price tonight, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Don't raise your hand. We all do those kind of things. You say, maybe you get up in the morning and you go, I want to be in good shape. I want to change my life. And I'm going to sleep in this morning. Or you go, I'm going to get financially secure. But then you go, but I want one. And I can't afford it, but I'm going to put it on my card anyhow. We do those things. I remember making some really bad choices. And, I don't want to get personal here right now. I'll talk about something else later. So, we have the simple person, the naive person, who makes these kind of choices and decisions, and they don't see the connection between, and we'll talk about why that is, and then we'll get more examples. So a prudent acts as if the then is now, as if the future is present. So when the prudent person identifies behaviors that will turn into habits that are not in line with where they want to go, they do something about those habits before they develop too far down the road. Or if when a prudent person sees a relationship moving in an unhealthy direction, they do something to change the direction. They do something about that relationship. When the prudent sees trouble in their financial life and see things coming up on the horizon, they do something different. They change the choices they make. They change the direction they go. They don't keep on spending. They alter their spending. They don't say, well, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. I don't think that's the way you want to apply that one. Now, you may think to yourself, well, I know somebody who did this, blah, 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 and nothing happened to them. So what do you got to say to that? Well, my answer, it hasn't happened to them yet. See, these things don't happen. They're not immediate. They don't happen right away. They usually, it's over a long period of time. And by the time you get there, there's nothing else you can do about it. You're there. And you can't go backwards. You can't go back in time. They don't have time machines, if you didn't notice that. There's no way you can go back and do it differently. Once you've done it, it's done. And you can't go back. And so a whole period of your life can be wasted. A whole season of your life can be gone. Because, your birth of your child only happens once. The time you have with your children only happened that one during that time. The time you have with your grandkids only happened once. The time that you have to do kind things for this person or that person, they only happen when that moment. And once the opportunity is gone, it's gone. And you can't go back and say, well, but I wanted, yeah, well, great, great. Glad you had good intentions, but you didn't do anything. You didn't take advantage of that. You made the decision not to do anything or to do something else. So it went away. So how do we go a different direction? Because obviously we don't want to end in a place that we don't want to be. We want to have a life that is a good life. And so what do we do? First of all, you have to know, and this is essential, you have to know where you are in order to change directions. You have to know where you are. If you're lost and in a place you never intended to be and you want to get back to where you should be, First of all, you have to know where you are. Now, let's say, for instance, you have your phone and it has a GPS, but the GPS isn't working. So when you get on the thing for the maps to show you where you are, so you can go say, well, I'm going to put this destination in here, and then it will take me from where I am to where I'm going to be. It can't do it because it doesn't know where you are. Before we had cell phones and GPS, if you got lost, you might stop at a gas station, get on the phone and call somebody and say, hey, could you give me directions? I am lost. And they say, where are you? I don't know. Well, very good. There are no signs. There's no street signs. And it's dark and it's late at night and there's no one here and I don't know where I am. Can you give me directions? I'm sorry. You can't. You're lost and you're not going anywhere different because you have no idea where you are. So the fact is that we need to know where we are before we can move in a different direction. This is what David prayed in Psalm 139, verse 24. He says, point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Notice how he puts the one thing before the other. Point out anything in me that offends you. If there be any sin in my life, if there be anything that would be displeasing to you, point it out to me. And then lead me along the path of everlasting life. He doesn't say, yeah, I have a lot of problems and things I don't want to change, but lead me in the path of everlasting life, okay? Not going to happen. You're not going to go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. If you won't recognize where you're at and that you want to go a different direction. So we don't always see where we are. We don't always see the place that our lives are at, and therefore we can't change direction. Now, here's another thing. Pursuing happiness isn't always the best decision. Here's the problem. We have an American Constitution. It says we have the inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness. And we in America have taken that to be sacred. So the pursuit of my happiness is the ultimate decider of the decisions I make. And when you base your decisions on your personal happiness, what will make you feel good, what will make you happy, you'll find that the decisions you make may down the road not make you happy. There could be decisions that you've made and they've filled you with happiness for a period of time. But those very decisions now you regret because they were wrong decisions. Even though they made you happy for a while, even though you enjoyed them, you ended up someplace where you really don't want to be. Now, how many people do you know of that when they were young decided to smoke and they enjoyed smoking? They relaxed them. They actually lost weight. There were all these wonderful benefits of smoking, and everybody was doing it, and they had camaraderie with people, and they enjoyed smoking. There was something that made them happy. They enjoyed it. How do they feel now? They don't like that decision so much. They wish they could have gone back and never smoked. Why? Because it has the consequences that they did not foresee or somehow ignored, and they went more with what other people were doing and what other people were deciding rather than saying, what is the path that will set me on if I do this? Now it's a struggle. Now it's difficult and hard. It's not impossible to stop smoking, but it is very difficult. And so that's just one example. We could go on and on about different things that we have decided to do because we want to be happy, and we will do that and find ourselves a period of time later going, I wish I had never, ever did that. I wish I'd never done that. I remember, now here's my personal thing here. I remember years ago wanting a camera. And it wasn't one of those little cheapy cameras. I wanted a real camera. You know, one that you could get big pictures off of it, you know. And I wanted I wanted lenses, too. I want lenses that you could see. You could go really far and take a picture, or a lens that you can go really close and take a picture. And I did all kinds of research. I had catalogs of all kinds of, and read all kinds of articles about what cameras are the best cameras to get. And so I finally picked one that I thought was going to be fantastic. And I just thought about this all the time. I don't know, I just thought about it all the time. The thing is, I didn't need a camera. I really didn't need a camera. I'd never had a camera before, and I don't know if there was any great need for me to have a camera, but I wanted a camera, and so I decided I'm going to find reasons for me having a camera. And so I developed all kinds of reasons why it was a good thing for me to get a camera. Now, here's another thing. I didn't have enough money to buy a camera. But with a little ingenuity and time, I figured out that my dad had some money. And I could talk him into it, and then we'll go in together on it. And we'll both have this camera, right? It'll be his camera, my camera. We'll go in together on this camera and get this camera, right? So I got the money from dad and bought this camera with these lenses, and I took two or three pictures, and now it was in the closet. And I never really used it. It was a waste. It was a waste of money. And I go, why did I do that? Why did I waste my time in trying to... I spent a lot of time. I wasted a lot of time researching, dreaming, scheming, plotting, convincing, arguing to get this thing. And then when I got it, it didn't last more than a week or so, and then it was in the closet. What in the world is that about? Nobody's ever made that this kind of decision, I hope, out there. Bought a new car and go, why did I get this car? I had a perfectly good car, and now I have a car, and I can't afford this car. See, the thing is, our problem is rarely a lack of information. It's not a lack of insight. It's not a lack of brains. It's not that we fail to see the trouble or the problem coming down the road. The problem is we're dishonest. We deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We choose things because we want them. We do what we want to do. And so we find ourselves spinning a line of reasonings and rationalizations and excuses for the decisions we make. And we protect ourselves with these reasons so that we can do the thing we want to do when we know that it's really not a wise thing to do. And it really isn't a thing that will be beneficial down the road for us. But we convince ourselves that this is a great thing, this is a good thing, and you need to do it. So here's my final point. Don't trust your heart. Trust your heart with God. Okay? Don't trust your heart. Trust your heart with God. Now, a lot of times people say, I just go with my gut. Or someone says, follow your heart. Ever heard that? It's disaster. The heart is not necessarily a good thing to follow. Here's an interesting verse, and maybe you've heard this one before, Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So you go, well, how many times have I looked back in my life and I thought, I don't understand why I did that. What was I thinking? The reason you don't understand is the same reason you don't understand many of the reasons that you give for the things you do. But according to Jeremiah, nobody really understands themselves that way. See, the heart is deceitful. What does that mean? It means you can't trust it. What happens once you know that you can't believe somebody or you can't trust somebody? You find that once you realize that they are deceitful and they're liars and you can't trust them, guess what? It makes it easier to resist and ignore their spiel, their sales pitch, and you are able to say no to it. So it enables you to stop, take a minute, and evaluate it, and make a different choice. Once you realize that that is something you have to, okay, I got to take that with a grain of salt. I have to wait a minute before I do that. In fact, that's a good way to make decisions a lot of times, is just to wait. Because your heart will say, this is great, I want to do this, let's go for this. Then you buy it and you go, what an ugly, I don't know why, where am I going to put that in the house? I just don't know where I'm going to do with that thing. Why? Because you went with your heart. You went with your gut. And there's a lot of areas of our life where we do that. So when you recognize that your heart can deceive you, that it can lie to you, it can make reasons up, it can say to your brain, think of a whole lot of reasons why it'd be good for me to get this because I want this. And then you come up with a reason, you go, yeah, that's a good reason. And after a while, you believe your own PR. And you've convinced yourself that this is the right thing to do. So, you need to find yourself doing something different and not trust the heart. Here's where this verse 5 comes in. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. A few years ago, Deanna and I went to Europe, and I thought it was a good thing, and it was very good, actually. I bought a Garmin map that you put the map of Europe on this Garmin, and it had GPS signal. So it doesn't matter if you had any Wi-Fi or any internet or anything, Google Maps, it didn't matter. It would go everywhere you went. And so we would take this thing out and put in the directions of where we wanted to go, and then it would take us there. And it was fantastic. A lot of stress was relieved. Being directionally challenged, I could just see myself, what did that say? I can't even go off somewhere and get ourselves in a... I won't go into other stories, but this is something that happened once with this whole thing. We were on one of the freeways, German freeways, I believe, and we were going through Germany and coming through Austria and whatever, and the Garmin direction was going, take a left here. We were on the freeway. Get off on this exit. We're going, what in the world? So we got off the exit, and we're winding around these small roads up and down around the hills, and then eventually it has us get back on the freeway. So we get back on the freeway. And we're trying to make good time, you know. And then we go a little bit down the freeway again, and then it says, get off on this exit. And you go off on the exit, and we wander around these little villages, come out, and then we come out on the freeway again. And this happened about 3 or 4 times. Anyway, I thought, this is ridiculous. And next time it came up again, get off of the freeway and get on this little road over here, this exit. And we said, forget that. We're staying on the freeway. And a mile later, traffic jam. There was an accident. And we were stuck there for a long time. What the Garmin was doing is redirecting us around the accidents or the slowdown, the traffic jam, so that we could make the best time. Now, we didn't see that until it was like, there we are, waiting behind these cars just parked on the freeway in Germany. In a similar way, our failure to trust and submit to our Heavenly Father and that He will lead us is the same way. We may not know why He's having us go down a different path. And we don't see the big connection. But He does. And we have to trust Him. We have to submit to Him. See, the word that's translated trust carries with the idea of laying down helpless, face down. Or the idea of being surrendered to a soldier. And this vulnerability, this dependency, is what it's talking about. So it says to lean on, literally put your weight on something that can hold you up. And so when you trust and lean, it's saying you need to be not dependent on yourself. You need to put yourself in a place where you're helpless and you have to have you have to be dependent on God. And you put all your weight on Him. And where do you not put your weight? Your own understanding. So here's where choosing the best path comes into play. It doesn't have to do with intelligence. It doesn't have to do with insight. It doesn't have to do with smarts of any kind. What it has to do with, it starts with this: submission to God. That's where it starts. When you consider all the options, the place to begin is, Lord, I'm leaning on You. I'm not leaning on my own experience. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm not leaning on my own history. I'm leaning on You. I'm trusting what You have to say. And God says then He will, what? Make your paths straight. So when you submit to God in every area of your life, and that means that there's no area that is out of bounds for God. Every area of your life is open to His intervention, His direction, His leading. Then you find yourself in a place where you can see what God wants you to do. If you're not willing to submit to Him, then you won't be able to see. If you're telling yourself, this is what I want, this is what's going to make me happy, this is the direction I want to go, and God says, no, this is the way you should go, you need to submit to Me, guess what? If you're not willing to submit and do what He says, you will not see the path that you're on. It'll be obscured to you. You will not see this. You won't be able to look at that and say, here's what I need to do. So to get God's direction, you need to start with unconditional submission. Now, here's the thing that's a little bit different. When you look at God, the main thing that He's interested in is a relationship with His creation, with people. And so, because that's His primary interest, He wants to have a connection with you. And so because he wants to have a connection with you, He's not going to give you a GPS machine for decisions. He's not going to give you a map and say, here's the map, here's how you are to live your life for the next 40 years. And here's the decisions you need to make so that you make the correct decisions, everyone. Now, to me, when I was first a Christian, that's what I was looking for. God, show me where I'm going to be going and how I'm supposed to get there. What did I get? I got one clear direction. I want you to move to California. So I moved to California, and then I go, okay, what's next? Silence is golden. Nothing. Now, why is that? Well, let's just, for instance, put yourself in God's shoes. If you're a parent and your kids are saying, Dad, Mom, tell us what would be good decisions for our life, and please put it in a folder, in a binder, and just give us that so that we know when we're coming up on different stages of life, we have to make these certain decisions, and give us advice. Thank you so much. And then you never hear from them again. They never call. They never show up. Guess what? I don't care if they make a bad decision if they're never connected with me. God wants you to be connected with him. So therefore, he's not going to lay it all out, every little step and every little move, because then our heart will say, well, we don't need God. When the truth is not that, that is not the truth. We need God. We need a relationship with God. You are made for a relationship with God. In fact, you can be the wisest person in the world and still choose the wrong path if you're not connected with God. Case in point here is Solomon, the wisest man in the world. Guess what? At the end of his life, he was estranged from God. He made decisions that he shouldn't have made. Why? Because his relationship didn't stay connected to God. And he found himself in a place that was far, far away from God. He did things that he shouldn't have ever done. He started worshiping other idols. If you can imagine, the wisest man in the world doing the dumbest thing you could possibly think of. How did that happen? Because he didn't have a connection. He was not submitted to God. So it's not a matter of just having wisdom. It's having a relationship with God and submitting to God. That's where it starts in order for you to live a wise life. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we thank you for your guidance, and we thank you for the principle of the path. Lord, we pray that you would help us now to see the discrepancies of where we are making decisions that really have no connection to where we want to go. And may we stay connected to you and fully submitted to you so that we can find the path that you have for us, so that we could see the direction that we have to go, the steps we need to take, the choices we need to make, so that we could arrive at the place that you've always intended us to be. Lord, we pray that you would work these principles and truths into our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.